Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Welcome to episode 131 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only show on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode, as always, y'all, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Source all the stuff you can yourselves, folks. It's getting real out there. And whatever you can't source yourself, go check out Heaven's Harvest. Good Christian-owned company. They got freeze-dried stuff. They got water purification. They got anything you might need. And honestly, their seeds say 85% germination rate, but it's better than anything else out there, especially... Yeah. Won't go into the name, but that seed company out of California.
Yeah.
And there's another one out of Missouri that don't even hold a candle to the seeds.
There's even one out of Asheville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. The ones that won't touch us with a 10-foot pole. I remember them. Ought to drop. No, I'm not going to drop their names here. I'm not going to give anybody.
Yeah. That's free promotion.
Yeah. Man. No way on earth am I going to tell you about them. But honestly, their germination rate, the only thing better than, actually, it's every bit as good as ours from the seeds we save.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Some of that stuff, we've had 100% germination rate. So go check them out, y'all. Heaven's Harvest, they got a good seed kit over there. They got a lot of good stuff. But at the end of the day, remember, if you can source seeds locally, it's always going to be your best bet. But everything we got from them, y'all, has been off the meat wagon. So go check them out. And if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app where you can listen to all your podcasts over there. Remember, start with the Pimp Cast. And you can also drop some derivations of a Bitcoin. They call them sats, S-A-T-s. So if you want to drop some S-A-T-s on some P-I-M-P's, you know where to do it. So check us out on the Fountain. You can also leave some comments over there. Provided it's up and working again, and I suspect
I just checked literally a couple seconds ago, and yeah, it's working now.
All right, a lot going on in the world, especially right here on the, right here in the Pimp Cast and right here at this farm. So, out there making compost with your mom.
Yeah.
We talked about that the other day, and it looks like it finally got up to temperature a couple of days ago, and it looks like it's going to settle out at about 140 degrees, so that means you got to let it go for 3 days. I'm still not crazy about the recipe she was given.
We'll see. I think we'll see after this second flip.
Yeah.
After this next flip, we'll see how this works and then just see how it goes from there.
Yeah. So the way this is working out is she's taking instructions from people who, a lot of them I'm starting to wonder are more academics or want to be academics than people that have actually put their hands on things. And folks, as you know, there's no shortage of those people out there. So she kind of went with their directions against my advice, and I'm like, I don't think it ought to go this way. But she's going to give it a shot, give it the old college try, as they say, and then find out whether or not this thing works. It's one of two things is going to happen. I think on the second or usually when I used a recipe similar to this, it was on that third flip where it never got up to temperature, which ends up being a nightmare.
And I wonder if the reason is because there's less water, maybe,
this recipe.
But no, I'm saying like since there's less water, meaning like the manure and stuff like that wasn't rehydrated after it was dried this time. So I'm wondering if it's going to slowly rehydrate that manure. And as it slowly rehydrates, then it slowly releases more heat, maybe? I don't know. And that's what I'm guessing. Maybe it might happen. If it's going to work, that's how it would work.
Well, I think it's going to need a little moisture along the way anyway. I think it was a little dry when she put it together. And if anything, just for anybody out there that's wanting to recreate the thing we talked about on Patreon regarding this method of compost making, I love it. In fact, I like mine to go a little bit hot, if anything, because I know I can always mitigate the heat.
Right.
Well, problem is, you get it too, you get out of control, then you're dealing with actinobacteria.
And a longer wait period for it to come back down to ambient temperature.
Right. So there's a double-edged sword. There's a zero-sum game to all this. But look, you got to practice. We've been shouting it from the rooftops, mostly on YouTube and otherwise, about how everybody really ought to get into knowing how to do this. Because we're getting to the time. If you think you're just going to go down there and go buy your fertilizer off the shelf here before long, I don't know when it's going to jump off. I don't know how. It's going to jump off at some point. And if you don't have a way to up your fertility on your property, then you're going to be in a bind. I don't care what you got going there. If you are reliant, if you're on that Ferris wheel of inputs, it's always going to be a problem when you get down to brass tacks.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway.
Especially when those inputs are making your soil worse and worse and more dependent upon those inputs.
Right. Well, you want to tell them why? Why it's getting worse?
Well, Dad, we could spend the rest of the podcast on that.
Well, in a nutshell, you're basically, they essentially metabolize in the salts.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're on this never-ending thing. You're killing a lot of the life in your soil. And so there's other good ways out there, folks. I'm going to recommend it. People always ask me what book I recommend. I'm going to back up. First thing I'm going to recommend you do, and like I said, we had Nicholas Bertner on the other day talking about his online PDC. It's definitely affordable. There are people signing up. Honestly, the books are great. Fukuoka, I'm always going to tell you to start with that. But at the same time, you need to get your PDC. It's affordable. You finally have one out there. Jeff Lawton is the best on the planet. Ain't no two ways about that. Michelle and I went through it, and if it's an online PDC, there's nobody better. It's expensive.
If you had to choose between a PDC, any kind of PDC, or like that soil food web class, which one would you recommend to somebody?
Without a doubt, right off the bat, the PDC. Because what would you recommend?
It depends. It would depend on their background. And I would base it on their background, because the soil thing is going to get you to the same conclusion. Like, you need to focus on soil. That part, it's going to really focus on that. But the permaculture design, you're still going to have to, either way, you're going to have to go visit the other one. I think it would just depend, though.
Here's why I would say the PDC, because you're going to be missing the boat concerning other things. Like, okay, one of the biggest problems we run into is zoning. People are putting things in the wrong place because they don't yet know. People are not necessarily going to understand the relationships that your chickens, let's say, should have with your garden.
Where your compost should be.
Right. I mean, and hey, folks, I mean, for those that wonder, no, I don't get paid to promote that PDC. Somebody's always going to have a problem with it. But no, I insisted that I do not get a piece of it, because it means that much to me that folks go out there and get the education, because you're going to make fewer mistakes on the front and back end.
Yeah.
If you have an understanding of permaculture. And I would always, obviously, I think also just with a PDC, doing it right, following Jeff Lawton's methods, it's going to get you to the same place as soil food web. You're just going to do it in record time.
And if you take a PDC first, then your mistakes that you make, you're going to be able to build off of. Instead of making just dumb mistakes like putting chickens in zone 5 or something like that, the mistakes you make after your PDC are going to be, you know, like fewer, but also stuff that you can work with.
Unless you're one of those people out there who, man, if I had a nickel for the people that fall for this trap, where your ego gets in the way,
you start
designing things and you're putting things on this new homestead because you have this idyllic view of how it all should be, this or that. And you're not thinking about the relationships or how long it's going to take you to do chores. That's why people like Danny at Deep South, I mean, his zoning is on point, man. I mean, everything is exactly where it ought to be for efficiency. People that are built for efficiency understand zoning usually right off the bat without any training.
Here's a tip. If you're new to homesteading, and let's say it's a husband and wife, and one of you wants to constantly choose what's the prettiest option, choose the most efficient option, design your homestead for the most efficient like relationships and stuff like that, and then just make that look pretty.
Graft your beauty into it.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can easily do that, but you're going to hate each other less, because honestly, the work is, it's just like Eric always says, and I think Jeff also says too, and we would absolutely agree. Yeah.
Okay. So, there's nothing I can do about that. If we, okay, so here's a little behind the scenes thing. for me to be able to play Pastor Lon's thing through the Rodecaster, I have to have my phone connected to the Rodecaster. And even if I hit do not disturb, even if I mute it and all that stuff, I can't hit airplane mode because then it cuts off the Bluetooth to the Rodecaster. But like phone calls and texts still come through. I can't mute that.
Hey, with the info we're dropping on here, I'm sure a lot of people are going to put up with it. So yeah, it's all good, y'all. Hey, we're doing the best we can, y'all. We're not podcasters per se. We're farmers that just happen to be podcasting.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of the way it goes out. So, yeah, sorry for the disruption there. But, hey, it's what it is. But honestly, coming down to it, I would always say, look, start with the PDC. You can do that while reading some of these other books. I'm always going to tell you to go back to Fukuoka, look at it from the very beginning. Plus, it's very poetic, even though it's translated from the Japanese into English. There's just so much there, and it's funny how many people read that book and you miss a lot of it. I had to read it twice to really fully grasp everything he was saying, and you find the overlaps. So you'll read that book, maybe you'll read Mark Shepherd's book, Restoration Agriculture, and let's say you go in, you read Permaculture 2 or whatever the case may be, and then you start making connections in your mind, these little, oh, shoot, I didn't know that kind of overlaid with this. And you make these connections.
Or even what's more realistic, you read a couple of those books and then you see a couple YouTube shorts, or you read a couple of those story books, which are everywhere. They're at like Tractor Supply and stuff like that. But you can pick and pull what's useful from those and apply them to your situation as well.
Well, that, yeah. And at the end of the day, that PDC really, if that was part of the curriculum, you know, that's one thing people might want to consider in their homeschool curriculums.
Yeah, for sure. Throw
a PDC up in there, honestly.
Yeah.
It teaches you more about the world. You know, it's really astonishing when you get down to it. A PDC will teach you more about how the world really functions than anything else. And if every kid out there had a PDC, they would be, it makes you less susceptible to a lot of the dumb stuff out there, I think.
But also, you know that they're going to be fine no matter where you put them to, because they know how to make an income off waste streams.
Well, that's something Eric Sider always talked about, at the end of the day, he knows you could drop him off in the woods with wet weather boots and water wings, and he's going to come out with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of what you get out of this, and there's a lot of different ways of emphasis you can put in one place. Let's say you favor animals. Well, let's say the missus favors a garden. Well, we have that same sort of thing going on here where we kind of fill in the gaps in each other's weaknesses, and we cross train each other in the areas where the others might be weak. When we do this constant cross pollination, everybody's constantly learning. But yeah, I would definitely say right out of the gates, man, folks, if you haven't considered it, I mean, my man's charging $25 a month, which is insanely inexpensive for what you're getting out of it. And it's honestly the best money I've ever spent. It really is.
And it's not a bunch of garbage. It's not a bunch of the purple breather permaculture variations where it's like everything's a mandala garden and it's fair share and all that stuff. He teaches you actual permaculture, the way it's meant to be taught.
Yeah, so folks, if you're looking for it, I'm going to lean you back there, so go check it out. All right, so some other things going on around here. You've been studying for your, and you took a test, and you're ready to go on to your next test, right?
Yeah, I passed my first MPA-1 test, and then I've got three more tests to take. This next one is measuring and identifying like filamentous creatures and stuff like that. And then the next one is sending a video showing I know how to use the microscope. And then after that, it's like a live Zoom meeting where they actually watch me and I share my screen and stuff like that.
Yeah. So he's getting qualified to be a, basically a lab tech on this stuff. So Michelle's already crossed the finish line. She's working on her thing now. William's next up, and I'll be honest with you, I've been so busy trying to just keep my head above water since traveling that I'm still playing catch up. So I'm hoping to kind of get my poop in a group, so to speak, so I can catch up to William and get that stuff done. So, there's a studying, and then plus there's this other element where it's in the fall, but we're starting to kind of think, okay, we got to start gearing up for winter.
Yeah.
Got to get the wood over there. Got to clean the fireplace. Got to, the chimney and all that good stuff. Other things you got to get set up for the winter around here, because it's probably going to be a good solid 3 months where the the wood stove is going pretty much full time.
Oh, yeah. Well, last winter, it was like 4 months, wasn't it?
It could have been,
like, yeah. It started late, but it lasted long, didn't it?
It seemed like it did, yeah. And then coming out of it, so, yeah. But, I mean, you save a lot of money on the heat when you use wood heat to do that stuff. So, you know, we got the electric as a backup. So it's getting geared up for winter. And I'll be honest with y'all, man. Your mom said the same thing. I was like, okay, so there's this method called framing. This is one of the things I'm learning through Dr. Joe Dispenza's program that I'm going through right now. And, well, actually, I even learned that from Ed Milet. Okay, I'll give you a prime example. Okay, so I'm rewiring my brain. And believe it or not, y'all, it is... I can honestly say I've gone 3 days without any negative thoughts. Basically, no thoughts that escape my awareness. I'll put it that way. Where something doesn't go stupid. What's going on?
Sorry. Oh, there was a feedback. Your phone was underneath the mic. Another little behind-the-scenes thing is if your phone is directly underneath this microphone, you get feedback in the headphones.
Well, having all kinds of tech stuff. One of the things you learn in this program is that, and you learn it pretty quick, is how to stop all these errant thoughts that may enter your mind, you know, where you just kind of lose, where your brain's on autopilot when you're doing, and you have these thoughts, and they're usually negative, and they escape your awareness throughout the day. And if you're not careful, you can govern your life set up that way. So that's what I've been working on. And I think I've strung together maybe 3 consecutive days where I haven't had any issues. And your mom's doing quite well with it, too. Where I was going with this, I have absolutely... Oh, I know exactly where I was going because now we had a phone problem. So instead of, like, the other day, I put on my shoes. I had to go back to the bathroom for something in our bedroom.
Yeah.
And as I walked across the bathroom floor, I'm realizing, oh, shoot, I just tracked some mud in here. I didn't realize it was on the shoe. Shouldn't have had them on to begin with.
Which, hold on, y'all don't know how far he got into the house before he found out there was mud on his shoes.
Yeah, I was in a bind. I got back there. So I'm like, okay, shoot. And then the first thing, that's exactly what I said, was shoot. And then ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, almost escaped my awareness. Instead of being aggravated about this, I just reframed it and said, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to clean this bathroom early. That's the way I looked at it. I'm like, instead of like, oh, you know, shucks, I just sat here and tracked mud across the floor. I looked at it like, well, guess what? Michelle's going to be really happy when she sees this clean floor up in here. So that's one way of framing it. And then for winter, I'm over here trying to reframe it in my mind because your mom said the same thing. I said, you know what? I'm going to reframe this. Because what happens to plant roots, or basically like all these fruit trees we got, what happens to the roots through the winter?
They grow like crazy.
Right. And what are we doing down there? Making it way, way, way more fungal dominant in the food forest and the orchards down there. So I'm like, okay, one cool thing I can use to look forward through winter is that I'm down there every single day. We got a lot of trees and I'm doing a lot of mulching, a lot of cardboard, a lot of stuff like that. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? Through the winter, these guys are going to be putting down. I'm going to prune in some areas, other areas I'm going to let go wild. So I'm reframing how I feel about winter by being very positive about what it's going to do with if we get snow. Well, son, what's happening under that snow?
Well, that's the fastest recorded composting activity ever recorded, I guess.
Even over the Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. Even over like rainforest, which was previously thought to be the fastest composting area.
Right. Right. So every time it snows, I'm thinking, okay, shoot, we got that litter down on the ground. Man, we're kicking everything up. You know, your microbes are really going to work for you. So it's just framing. And that's one of the things I'm learning to do. And then being absolutely more charitable in how I'm behaving with everybody, and your mom's being that way too, and not letting, this is a big thing, is letting yourself, and I know this really doesn't have a whole lot, I guess it is part of farm news because it's what we're doing on the farm, is that you can become reactive instead of proactive. So whenever certain things would happen, they just set me off. Like I can't stand loud noises. Now, there's a reason for that. Part of it has to do with the way I grew up and, you know, yelling and carrying on. I can't stand it. Somebody raising their voice to me, that would usually put me from 0 to 10, just like that. You yell at me, it's on. And now, like, loud noises where a dog just barking for no reason, it would honestly just make me go from 0 to 10,000. And I'm learning to control that because it's not slipping past my awareness. And if it does, it only happens for a short amount of time, and I'm able to kind of lasso it back in and say, okay, all right, I saw that happening. Or sometimes, you know, it's just a flat-out enemy. You know, it's the enemy doing this stuff sometimes. So it's just getting a better awareness of that and reframing things. So just like we were talking about at this last one, you know, you don't have a cricket problem, you got a lack of turkey problem. It's just reframing.
Yeah.
It's really all it is. And so it's a permaculture method that you're just bringing right back to the house. But it's amazing what it takes to get you to realize that these things are happening. I'll tell you what else is a good time of year right now. This, for all you folks out there that are thinking about composting, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time for you to collect your compost materials and to put your piles together.
This is when my mentor for the whole CLP thing, this is when he starts composting. Spring and fall is when he starts composting. He doesn't really do much during the winter or summer. But he has like composting seasons, whereas before I was just thinking, okay, just make compost year round and stuff like that. But it's way easier in the fall and the spring.
Well, you know what I was thinking, and I didn't know that about him, so I'm learning something there myself. What I was thinking was, okay, well, it's fall, you got leaves coming down. Okay, well, is there anything better for your fungal part of the pile?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are easy to gather up, but then if you wait till summer, well, a lot of those leaves, depending on where you are not going to be found. There was a place up on the side of the mountain here that I got some.
Where?
Yep.
Yep.
Right there on the edge. The edge effect. Up the mountain. Had to go way up the mountain to go get them. And got some leaves, got some bags of leaves up there for your mom's compost pile.
Yeah.
So, and it's even better because they're kind of aged, you know, they're aged leaves. So, yeah. So think about it. This time of year, you still got green grass. You got green material. It's not going to be as high octane as if it was in early spring, but still, you got plenty of green material, and you got browns that are easily available right now.
Yeah, which the spring, the nitrogen content in the plants isn't that big of a deal. You just have to alter your recipe. You just have to be aware of it and alter your recipe.
Yeah, but that's, you know, right now is a really good time. So other things going on, your mom just harvested a bunch of tomatoes, which means I'm going to be making some sauce as soon as I can string 2 minutes together. So you know what time that's going to be. All right, y'all. So before we get into Pastor Lon, I want to make sure you know that this weekend coming up, October 7th, Farm Where You Live, that's going to be in South Carolina. Go check it out. Going to have a lot of great speakers there, as I understand. Wish I could be there. Mountain Readiness is going to be October 20th and 22nd. We are going to, or at least I'm going to be there, and going to be teaching a class on knot tying, homestead knot tying. Ought to have a few surprises in there. So, yeah, I hope to see you there for that. They're going to be doing a fundraiser as well for Caleb House. And then later on, October 28th and 29th, I'm going to be there. Going to be backup dancer for my man Darren at Hacks for the Homesteader. Up there, Kentucky Sustainable Living, they're going to have a VIP dinner for Vets for Child Rescue. And the proceeds go to Vets for Child Rescue. And they're going to be feeding some prime rib up in there. So I already bought my tickets. I think I bought two. So,
Is mom going with you on either one of those?
I don't. Well, mom's going to the one for sure.
Mountain Readiness.
Well, whichever weekend for sure the baby is not going to be born, that's when she's going to be there.
Well, Dad, if you know, let me know.
Well, I mean, you know, the scheduled date, you know.
I don't think the baby cares about a scheduled date.
Right. So I'm just going to hope and pray that it happens in between the raindrops. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go to the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Jesus Christ loves us, and therefore he commands us to love one another. When you love somebody, you want what's best for that person, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in any way, shape, or form. So you may have somebody in your life, if you listen to this tonight, that traveled down a wrong road and been down that road a long time. You may feel like there's no hope for them, but I want to encourage you. If you love them, don't give up on them. Keep praying. I've got family members in my life right now that's in church today that years back, you never would have thought you'd have seen them living for the Lord, but they are today. So I just want to encourage you to think about this. There's three things he gave us, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Love can do many things in our lives today for ourselves, for our family, and for complete strangers. So let's love like Jesus did. Let's be intentional with what we're doing for him, because there's somebody out there that needs the love of God, and we are the very people that can show it to them. by following what thus saith the word of God.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. That's one of those things also I'm getting better at is, you know, loving myself a little bit more. I don't really have the highest, never did. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. Never had a high opinion of myself, but it's also, you know, realizing that you got to love yourself. Like Eric Satter once had to really beat me over the head with the fact that people care starts with yourself. And remember, you got to put on your mask before you're on a plane. You got to put on your mask before you put it on an infant or anybody else around you. So, yeah, so keep that in mind as well. Thanks, Pastor Lon. Go check him out, y'all. All right, so formerly the good news, bad news section is just the good news section. Now, that's not to say that in the main topic we ain't going to drop it nasty, but hey, right here we got a good news section. So check this out. Greenpeace Canada. Now, the co-founder admits, quote, we are not in a climate crisis.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah. So
big surprise.
No, I'm sure people could debate that, and we got a lot of weird things going on. The thing that really blows my mind is when people are talking about, here's what I never understood, and this is why I'm going to call that good news because it's going to make people raise their eyebrows. I have a differing opinion on that, but on another note, why is it people want to talk about global warming or climate change? By the way, climate always changes. And nobody ever seems to put the fact that, you know, it started, you know, it was global cooling back in the 70s. Yeah. Then Al Gore came out with this global warming, and then they got climate change, and the script keeps changing, and people still keep believing it. And what I don't understand is where something like that is going to be completely polarizing. You know what is absolutely unifying when it comes to stuff like this?
What?
Talk about pollution.
Yeah.
Just say pollution. Yeah. When you start talking about global warming and all this other stuff, you can get anybody that has any sense at all to say, okay, I don't want pollution. I don't want water pollution. Right. I don't want air. I don't want to breathe this stuff. I don't want to eat it. Don't want to drink it. You can get everybody on board with that, but you know, it's too polarizing to call it one of these other things.
Instead of calling it a climate change crisis, it should be a climate control crisis. That's what the issue is.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, well, people that think that, oh, we can't control the climate. Well, I invite you to go look up Operation Popeye. That was all the way back in Vietnam, and they were doing stuff even before then. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird weather going on in this world, and I'm not so sure it's not contrived. So other good news out there, breaking news, L.A. School District rescinds COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Over 1,000 employees who were wrongfully terminated now await justice. So they're going to get their day in court.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, it's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
You know, what about all these guys, you know, in the military, guys and gals? I just interviewed one of them. We didn't really go into it much, but they basically had to get, you know, they were at a longtime career in there. And after what I think 14 years had to wind up getting out,
yeah,
because they refused to be jabbed, you know, and it's awful. Now I do know some guys that are still in that, you know, didn't get jabbed, but you know, made it look like they did. Oh, they were like 19 years in and they're like, oh no, I'm a sergeant major or first sergeant.
Uh-huh.
I'm not about to go out like this. So, you know, didn't and said they did, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there. But now, yeah, it's like, oh, my bad. You made everybody go out there and do this. And so now I wonder if these folks are going to get their jobs back. But at least people are starting to wake up regarding some of this. So stick around definitely for the main topic because there's a couple of things I want to overlay with this.
But also remember those ones that were pushing the jab or the ones that were quiet about it at first. And now they're making fun of it. Now that it's like socially acceptable, now they're speaking up and making fun of it.
You know, remember what Mark Twain said in the beginning of I'm going to loosely quote it, but in the beginning of a change, a patriot is scorned and mocked. As his cause succeed, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that were on the front end of that, and this is, you know, it's funny because I talk to a lot of other people that do this kind of work, and they have very strong feelings about this, but they don't express them.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know
what bigger platforms than us.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what you're waiting on. You're hoping to get to you last. I don't know. Now, some of these people, I'm not going to force them into it or whatever. But, you know, when you get down to brass tacks and a lot of this stuff, I don't know what we're waiting on. I don't know what we're waiting for. I'm willing to risk it all to try to save it. You know, what did they say in the beginning? We risk our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And we are definitely not that generation anymore. And then at the same time, I do understand the people who are just, to a certain extent, kind of keeping their powder dry and acquiescing. Now, it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but let me say it this way. Okay, you got Julian Assange. How long has he been locked up? Probably a decade.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's out there lamenting his loss? Okay, you got, I don't know really what to think about that guy, Bradley Manning. You know, he got locked up. And, what did he get out of the deal? What about J. Kirk Wiebe, locked up? Bill Binney, whistleblower at the NSA, a way more consequential than Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
But everybody went off about Snowden. You have people that way outranked, dropped way more information than Edward Snowden.
Snowden was interviewed by Joe Rogan, though, Dad.
Yeah, oh, well. Yeah, well, you have Snowden, but he had gotten, you know, national acclaim long. Most people don't know who they are, but they were much higher. Tom, there was another guy. There were three whistleblowers I know of at the NSA that far outranked anything Edward Snowden was talking about.
I'm sure TD will fill in the gaps for us.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. My man knows what time it is. So, you know, when you have all these people out there that have done all these things, and you look at people like Edward Snowden, and you got to be thinking, and I've said it before, a lot of these people have got to be saying, I put my life at risk for this.
Yeah.
I mean, these people don't care. I mean, so I do on one end of it. I know I understand some of these people that say, you know what? I'm just going to sit back and wait. We got a population that's so willfully stupid.
Well, what about this end of the spectrum? What if this wasn't a non-issue because people did speak their mind?
There you go.
I mean, that would be the solution is if we find out, 80% of the country doesn't think this way. Because everybody is speaking their mind and they're not worried about losing their platform.
And it's not saying it on a platform. That's not the most consequential place, although it does have some weight saying it on a YouTube or a podcast or something like that. You know, you want to know where it has the most weight? Talking to the people that you could see with your own two eyes.
Yeah.
Telling those people, you know, long before I had any platform at all, you ask anybody I've ever worked with. Believe me, before it was all said and done, they got a PDC working around me.
Yeah.
Because that's where my passion was lying. You know, it wasn't just doing the work I was doing. I'm like, I'm passionate about what it is, about the work I do, about what I want to do with my life. And now that it's become reality, you know, I'm like, okay, thank the Lord. Here I am doing this every single day. This is what I love. So, I get it why some people don't speak. But like you said, It's those smaller enclaves or like gatherings or whatever, where we tend to let the bullies, the political bullies, whatever the case may be, we let them have their way because we're like, I know what I think. No, Jack, you ain't going to be in my presence and talk some nonsense without getting challenged on it.
Well, yeah, your silence is just consent. Like, it's consent.
Yeah.
It's agreeing with them.
Yeah. All right. So some other good news here. I'm a political atheist. Okay. I see them all as nincompoops for the most part, but I got to say, this news kind of caught my attention. All right, RFK Jr. plans to run as an independent because the Democratic National Committee has rigged the nomination for Biden. Okay, now I don't have a horse in the race. I told y'all what I think about all this, but I will say that I'm going to call this good news because there are people that are going to listen to the truth bombs that RFK Jr. Now, is he right on everything or the things I have fundamental disagreements about? Absolutely, regarding him and just about everybody else. But he is able to drop these truth bombs to people that would never, ever, ever listen to somebody like me.
Yeah.
They would never listen to me. But because he's a Kennedy, because he's dropping some of this stuff out there, they might be more likely to listen to it. And so I'm like, it really doesn't matter. You know, I was going through Gary Allen's book today, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It was written in 1971, the year I was born. And if you check that book out now, it'll blow your mind how much he called back then that is happening and is unfolding right now. They just thought it was going to be happening around that time in the 70s. And here we are, chapter and verse, it's all unfolding right now. And when you look at what they've set up, and Carol Quigley, thanks TD for reminding me about that. Through Carol Quigley's work, he basically admitted, openly admitted, that basically you can pick left or right. It doesn't matter. They're all furthering the same position. They're all the same people.
Yep.
They're all working for the powers that shouldn't be. But when you got somebody out there that appears like an outlier, I don't trust him, but he appears like an outlier and he's dropping these truth bombs out there, I'm going to call that a win.
I wonder if you can go through the inauguration, like go through that process and not be controlled after that. Like, is it physically possible to go through that process and not be controlled? You know what I mean? With all the rituals going on and stuff like that.
Well, there's a ritual. Okay, man, I don't know if I should go too esoteric into this, but I'll just kind of leave the highlights. With every U.S. president, when they are in the Scottish Rite Freemason Temple right there in D.C., they're going through a ritual called the Raising of Osiris ritual, okay? Yeah. So that dome and the Capitol dome represents the pregnant Isis's belly, and the Washington Monument facing across from it is basically the obelisk, the phallus. The phallus of,
Osiris.
So when they chopped his butt up, the one thing they couldn't find because it was ate by a fish was his junk. So anyway, that's what that represents. That's really what the Washington Monument represents.
Right, yeah.
And if people knew, I mean, it's 600, okay, at the base of it. Just think about this for a minute. At the base of the Washington Monument. Folks, I don't have notes in front of me, so I'm just doing this out of memory. But if I remember right, it's 666 inches around each base of the Washington Monument, and it's 6,666 inches tall at the Washington Monument. Down at the Scottish Rite, while every single president is being inaugurated, they're doing what's called the Raising of Osiris ritual inside that Scottish. You know what? I may have to do a whole program where I talk about this stuff in greater detail.
My whole point was like, I wonder if it's physically possible to sit there and be the subject of that process and then not be controlled at the other side.
Well, a lot of these things require your consent, and
it's one of those tricky consent things where like you knew about it and you still went type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's one of those types.
Well, they're hoping at one time that they do this, that this is going to be the actual Osiris that comes back. If you doubt me, there's plenty of history out there that talks about this sort of thing. In fact, if you go up in the Capitol Dome with all the paintings up there, you have the apotheosis of George Washington, which is basically him becoming a god.
Yeah.
And that's the way they look at it. So if you think our country's as pure as the driven snow, y'all, there's some occulted history in Washington, D.C. You know, I'm a big fan of a lot of what Thomas Jefferson did, but honestly, there's other things right there in that Capitol. Okay, why did they call it the Capitol City? Because it was to mock the Capitol or to mimic the Capitoline Hill in Rome, where it had the Roman Pantheon. And in fact, right there in the it's right there in the archives in the National Archives, right there in D.C., the most approved plan. Look at it under Jefferson; he approved it. And that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be a home for all the gods. This is right there in black and white. So if you think I'm all wet, I got the goods. And it's right there. It's not hard to find.
And it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, because this is what they believe.
Yeah. Yeah, so when these things go down, if you wonder why so much is falling apart, well, folks, I mean, there's a lot of things from the very outset that really I could do an entire show on the Raising of Osiris ritual alone that happens in D.C. I mean, yeah. I could do an entire show on that. And there's plenty of information out there that corroborates every bit of it.
Just the other night, I was going through where Saul is being anointed. And I noticed over and over in the Old Testament, God keeps pointing out the fact, he's like, y'all wanted a king.
There you go. Like,
y'all wanted a king. Yep. I told you you didn't need one, but y'all wanted one. So here you go. And now, it seems like it just falls apart every single time there's a king.
Yeah. I mean, no matter how good, I mean, you got King David, who was after the Lord's own heart. And even he went sideways with Bathsheba.
And then his son went sideways.
Yeah. And then you had some good kings in there. You had some mostly bad ones. I mean, man, they were even throwing their children in there to Moloch for a while there. I mean, there's a lot of insidious stuff. It goes right back to, okay, so what structure did God sanction? Okay, well, let's talk about the judges. What would be wrong with having a system like that? Which, by the way, don't throw rocks at me, but it's basically a form of agorism or agorism, or you could even call it
anarchy.
Anarchy.
Yeah.
It's basically anarchy, folks, despite what everybody tells you, just means the absence of government. God told him, okay, you want to do this? Here's what you're giving up.
Yeah, I would love to go.
Doggone good under some judges.
I want to go back and calculate like how many generations over and over it took for them to fall apart and then compare it to like modern day.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do that. And it would be, man, we went really sideways on this, son. But, you know, I don't know. Judging by what a lot of people out there tell me, I mean, they kind of enjoy when we kind of go sideways on a lot of this stuff. And folks, if I don't have it 100% correct, remember I'm speaking extemporaneously. So, I mean, I'm going in my mental Rolodex for some of this stuff. So if I don't have everything perfectly, I will say I know that I'm doggone close when it comes to everything. I know it's 666 inches at that base. And I know it's 6,006. I mean, you tell me that's an accident?
Yeah.
Oh, and I've only covered the tip of the iceberg. One of these days, I'll have to talk about what's buried actually down at the base of that Washington Monument, folks. It'll blow your mind. So before I go any deeper into that, let's go and get to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, plant identification. When you begin your permaculture journey, often the steepest learning curve is identifying plants and trees, particularly if you don't have a gardening or horticulture background. It can be overwhelming. It certainly was for me. Everything just looked like a big mess of green, and forget about learning the scientific names. But I remember Jeff Lawton saying he started by just identifying the largest trees in his area, and even had someone from the Forestry Service come out and help identify them for him. They say the average kid can identify 1,000 corporate logos, but only a handful of plants and animals from the local area. And as depressing as that statistic is, it also demonstrates the importance of pattern recognition. Once you recognize the growth pattern of a particular plant or tree, it becomes that much easier to identify it, particularly at a distance. This doesn't happen immediately, but over time, it just impregnates into your brain, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, that's an apple tree, that's an oak tree, without even seeing the specific leaf shape. Now with smartphones and AI, there's a whole host of plant identification apps out there, and they can be really useful to get started with. I know one I've been using and particularly pleased with is called Picture This. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Bam!
Yeah, if you don't believe in about kids not being able to identify plants and animals, just watch Snoop Dogg's Planet Earth. That is the funniest thing on Earth. He narrates Planet Earth. He don't know what any of these animals are. There's like otters fighting a crocodile. He's like, what are those, mongooses? Yeah. And if anybody wants a long, hard laugh, watch just Snoop Dogg narrating. It's called Planet Earth.
It's probably not family friendly, son.
I think it was like on Jimmy Kimmel type thing. It was on TV.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, hey, but Eric makes a really great point there. I mean, there's a lot of good phone apps out there that can really kind of help you out with this stuff. And it's one of those things that once, like he said, you know, somebody's like, I remember asking, well, they were asking me about what does comfrey look like? And I'm like, dude, when you see it, it's kind of hard to unsee it. But when we see it every day, and yeah. Then there's other things where he's right. I mean, that's one of the biggest things is trying to figure out what's what. And I even considered getting a degree in botany for a while there just to kind of.
You could. I mean, like one thing that I've noticed just from learning plants is if you plant it, you usually recognize it and you don't really forget that plant. You know what I mean?
Well, unless you plant it in the fall.
Well, yeah, unless you do that. But as far as your other varieties and species, yeah, if you plant it, it seems to, or get like a little part-time job at a nursery or something like that. You're going to interact with a whole bunch of varieties.
Yeah, you could do that. Or just go out there with that app and just work on one or two a week. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, that's one of my weak areas too, is that identifying, you know, when you consider the fact that so many people have died in the woods and were surrounded by things they could have eaten, yeah. It kind of gets your attention right there, you know, so you got to consider that kind of stuff. All right. Thanks a lot. Check out my man, Eric Sider over there. Always great stuff from him. One of my heroes in the space. So, be sure to check him out. All right. So before we get into it, remember EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Your biggest threat is always going to be lightning, and their house protection is second to none. Take it from me, 25-year IBEW journeyman, wireman, or electrician, as you might call it. I've installed a lot of these over the years, and nobody even comes close with the guarantee you get from EMP Shield. If lightning gets past that and it goes in and blows something off the wall, guess what? They're going to cover you up to 25 G's. Also, they got them for the vehicles. They got them for just about everything out there. So EMP Shield, remember, I reached out to them as a sponsor. They did not reach out to me. So go check them out. $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, let's get into the topic here. Oh, my goodness. I want to give a hat tip. First of all, Chris Emery. I'm going to be interviewing him later this week, and folks, you're going to be glad you listened to that, especially for those of you out there that really kind of dig some of the esoteric stuff we talk about. There's a whole lot of things in Oklahoma City, the place where I grew up, that you don't know about, and he knows where all the bodies forget. I mean, it's really not an intended pun, but he really does.
What's he going to be talking about?
Well, he's going to be talking about OKC and a lot of the things people don't know about. He's done the most consequential documentary on it. Want to give a hat tip also to TD over there at the
Texas Boys. Texas the Fearless Boys. Podcast.
Yep, Texas Boys. And then they got a Fearless Podcast. Texas Boys YouTube channel. But he basically made a lot of these connections. So I want to extend a profound thank you to him over there. And go check him out. You'll be glad you did. In fact, we got a lot of overlap in a lot of what we talk about. So, okay. So right here, Chris Emery texted me and he texted. Now it's starting to get out there in the mainstream. But you got people out there like Dr. Naomi Wolf. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. And the reason why is that she has always been a very honest, ethical liberal. Unlike a lot of people out there. I mean, she was a feminist from way back. Now she's sounding like a Lou Rockwell libertarian, for crying out loud. And she and her husband have been knocking it out of the park regarding so many doggone things. Now, he has a background, I believe, in psychological operations in the Army, just like your mom does. And she, of course, being a researcher extraordinaire. So as of late, she's basically lost everybody in her friend circle by where she came down on this whole COVID thing. But now things are starting to get real. And when I say real, I'm talking like when you hear Naomi Wolf go against the orthodoxy of all these people out there saying this about the jab, that about the jab, this about the administration, that about the administration. When you hear somebody like her saying things that are in the polar opposite, you really ought to pay attention. Look, Greg Reese from InfoWars put out this this little piece. Man, he's put out so many consequential things that are really, really, impactful. This one that he dropped from Naomi Wolf should make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and frankly, it ought to piss you off. Goes about 3 minutes.
And some tough Q&A. They knew in the spring of 2021 that these shots were killing people.
I've said over and over, and I don't mean to belabor this, but to remind everyone, when Steve says, how could this happen? I always say, from my experience working around a White House, that it can't happen unless the boss says it has to, or that it can. You can't kill Americans, I've said this so many times on this show, knowingly, without the okay of the president. So I knew that up the chain of command, the White House had to be involved in these decisions. But we just didn't have the smoking gun. Now we have the smoking gun. You remember we have 200 volunteer lawyers. So one of these lawyers' name is Ed Berkovich, and he FOIA'd, meaning sent a Freedom of Information Act demand to the CDC about myocarditis. And something very interesting happened. He got 472 pages from the CDC in response to that FOIA. He was also given an additional 46 pages, which he didn't ask for. And these additional 46 pages, over 80% of the pages were fully redacted. The redactions were, quote, pursuant to 5 USC 552 exemptions 5 and 6. What is redacted was solicited or shared with the president or his most senior advisors. They know it's happening. The other thing they're freaking out about is myocarditis. They know it's happening. The evidence came in, the updates came in, and the the American people are going to be asking questions or starting to ask questions. So they convene a set of crisis meetings, basically, in which they're basically trying to formulate a press response. These are all press people. They crafted a media response. And by the way, there are people who deal with broadcast news as well in that list. And the media response doesn't tell the truth.
All right. Now, this it goes on a while longer, y'all, but you know, I don't want to play it forever and a day. I think you kind of get the point here. So in a nutshell, you have Dr. Wolf. And like I said, this is the most unlikely person in the world, but she's ethical. She's got class. And she drops a manhole cover of information right there in the White House and everybody else. Now, is Biden actually calling the shots there? No, it's probably Obama. You know, some puppeteer has the...
Right.
I mean, I don't believe for a minute this dude even knows what planet he's on. I'm not even sure it's even him, dude. I mean, with all the CGI and all the other garbage that's going on, who even knows? Bottom line is, the White House knew all the way back then that this stuff was killing people.
Yeah.
And they let it happen. Not to mention all the other...
Still mandated it.
Yeah.
Not let it happen, but forced it to happen.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you basically put your seal of approval on this and, you know, hey, Trump, you ain't out of the woods either.
Oh, no. Nope.
You know, I mean, for all the people thinking, okay, well, who came up with Operation... whatever they call
Warp
that
speed.
Thing. Warp speed. Yeah. Who came up with all this? Who hatched that? Whose administration started all that? And he's still taking credit for it.
Oh, this is definitely getting flagged on YouTube. This is definitely getting flagged on YouTube.
Okay, well, you know, hit me with your best shot, man. I really, this is what I was talking about before. I really don't care. Very few people are listening or watching on YouTube anyway. So,
yeah, it's all good.
You know, it's all good. So I'm not, and not that I care anyway. But look, here's the bigger point I'm trying to make here, y'all. You're probably thinking, well, what on earth does this have anything to do with permaculture or anything else? Well, you kind of need a country. You kind of need a life. And honestly, you need a little bit of common sense. Here's what I'm getting at. How many different lies are these people, and they're known liars.
Yeah.
How many people are going to keep believing these people before you finally wake up? I brought up Chris Emery, who did that documentary on Oklahoma City called A Noble Lie, which everybody ought to check out. You know, and by the way, the commission report, the Oklahoma version of it, of what really happened on the Oklahoma City bombing just happened to come out on the 9/11. How about that? Got overshadowed. Mm. You know, 9/11 commission. Anybody believe that? You ever look at the information in there? Okay, let's go a little further back. What about the... when Kennedy was killed, how about the Warren Commission? Anybody believe in that? Does this seem worthwhile?
Or it doesn't even have to be anything that serious. Like, just click, like, put on Fox News right now and, like, stop when you finally believe something. Like, anything that they're saying.
Yeah.
It could be day-to-day news. They're constantly lying.
Yeah, it could be Fox News. It could be MSNBC, CNN. It doesn't matter. They're all just telling a lie from another perspective. And they get a one person on there every once in a while that may drop a little bit of truth. That's called a limited hangout, okay? They're all Operation Mockingbird prostitutes, and that goes all the way back to Alan Dulles. Go look it up for yourself. But what I'm getting at here, son, I can kick it all the way back. I mean, if anybody wants a history lesson on this, I can go all day. But I'm saying, how many different times has the government said, okay, no matter what they said, has been proven a lie?
Right.
Every single time. Okay, what about, like I said, I'll keep going. Oklahoma City, the official story, a lie. Kennedy assassination, a lie. Vietnam, a lie. World War II, lie. World War I, lie. All the way back, I mean, how many different, and then all the other things that have come along the way, lie after lie after lie after lie. Folks, I'm saying all this because you know what? They're going to start ramping up the lies even more. There was a former CIA chief that said, you know, you'll know our, I'm going to loosely quote it, but basically, you know that we hit the finish line on our disinformation program when everything the American public believes is false. Do you think we're there?
I think we're getting close, but I don't think it's as bad as maybe as it seems just from like social media and stuff. I don't think as many people are crazy as we might think.
No, I agree.
I think it's a little skewed because we're so close to Asheville right now, but it's I don't think there's that many crazy people right
now. Well, that's
what
I love about going to these festivals, and then you realize, okay, man, there's a whole lot of sane people up in here, man. There's some really awesome people here.
Yeah.
But on the same token, you know, there's always going to be that detachment of us. Like, I got family members, y'all. For example, I won't say who, but there's been family members, and they're on board. You think that you got them understanding, hey, this is poison. Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they talk to the next door neighbor, and it's almost always, and I'm not picking on women here, but that's usually how it goes down.
Fear's contagious.
Well, there's not that, but it's basically women are consensus builders for the most part. And so they hear a lot of other women talk about it. They hear Oprah talk about it, and they're thinking, oh, shoot, I'm going to rethink what I was thinking about that. Guys do it in their own way, too. It's just, in this particular case, it just happened to be a woman. Thought you had her on board. Next thing you know, she's a step away from getting this doggone thing for nothing.
Yep.
And then you got to go through it over and over and over again. And I'm like, okay, look who's telling you this. They are profligate liars. Stop believing them. Look, if they tell you, go do this, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what I'll do. It's going to be the polar opposite of whatever they say.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I said, and I've said it 1,000 times, if you had anybody that lied to you 1/100th to the extent that they do in government, they could tell you the sun rose and you would go out and check. So why is anybody believing these people? So when they pull this next one, and it's in the works right now. I mean, crying out loud, you can see it.
Yeah.
They're in the works right now, kicking it off. And you see everybody starting to, it's like a sacrament wearing the stupid mask. And you're seeing it come out of the blue. And then we're going to be right back on the high horse again. This time, I got a feeling people are going to start cussing people out.
Oh, yeah.
The bullies that are telling people, hey, you got to put on a mask or whatever, or, you know, you thought you're going to, okay, like that coffee shop that I'll never go to again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one in town.
Yeah. The only coffee shop in town.
Yeah. I ought to go out there. One of these days, I might go out there and pick at them just for GP, you know. But honestly, you know, the way they treated me, and this was after everything, I'm like, come on, man. You know, I didn't forget those people. I will forgive them, but I'm not going to give you my business.
You know, I've been there recently. One thing I've noticed, there are no more college kids working there. They're all like maybe middle-aged women, like 30-year-old women and stuff like that. There's no more college kids working there.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
and stuff is out quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how all that pans out for them. But, you know, what I'm trying to point out here, y'all, why are you trusting known liars? We keep going back to this. Look, okay, I understand you got duped, some of you, maybe this first time out. I get it. They did a full court press on the fear. But we're past that now, or we ought to be. And I'm going to highly encourage everybody out there, just consider the polar opposite of whatever the prostitutes in the media tell you, whatever the pundits tell you on Fox News, or whatever the politicians tell you from the podium. Just think about it, because we are getting to a point where I can't remember the last time anything I've been told officially has been true.
Well, not in my lifetime.
No, I'm talking anything at all in recent days. I mean, it is all a lie. So folks, consider that. We're getting into that time. And the reason why this matters is that now they're going to be telling you all kinds of stuff concerning your food.
Even lie to you about the daily weather.
That's a good point, son.
They lie to you. They lie to me every single day. I check every day on that app.
Yeah. Yep. Every day. All right. We're going to go to Keith Snow right now, y'all. I got to get away from this.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow with HarvestEating.com. Wanted to give you a very, very simple yet amazing dessert that is perfect this time of year as the melons and watermelons are coming to the end of the season. This is a great way to use them. And a little short story, I made this dish for a meal in Dijon, France back in 2012. I had cooked for 17 people as part of a cultural exchange program. And I think they had 6 or 7 courses from me and my team, some pretty fancy food. And the thing they were all talking about was a salad That's very similar to the one I'm going to tell you. So that was a surprise to me, but a testament to how good simple and fresh ingredients can be. So what you're going to want to do, and hold on, this is extremely complicated. You're going to take a melon baller, about a 3/4 inch melon baller, and you're going to get the highest quality watermelon, honeydew melon, Israeli melon, cantaloupe, whatever you can find. And you're going to make melon balls and place them into individual bowls and keep them cold. When it comes time to serve, you're going to squeeze fresh lime juice. Now, just to make sure that that came out of the speakers correctly, I did not say lime juice out of a little green plastic bottle. I said freshly squeezed lime juice. When you have that lime juice, you sprinkle it over your melons, toss it together, and serve it just like that. You will have something that people are like, wow, what is that? That's amazing. So I hope you give this a try and become familiar with using high-quality ingredients in very simple preparations and also at their peak of freshness. I want to encourage everyone to go over and get a pound of brown duck coffee over at harvesteating.com, and also check out my podcast. And thanks to Billy William and the Permaculture Princess. Take care, everyone.
Who else just found out Dijon was a place in France? I thought it was just the mustard. I didn't know it was the whole place.
I thought it was the name of a guy in the hood.
Well, I thought it was a character from the Proud Family.
I actually worked with a dude down in Texas. His name was Dijon. Oh, but it was spelled Dijon. And I'm like, hey, bro.
Remember the Proud Family? There was Dijonet. There was Paprika. There was all those kids.
Yeah, man. They had all the crazy, crazy sounding names.
Odd cartoon.
You know that? I mean, that sounds pretty awesome, man. Like a little melon baller, what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're getting at that point where that's what I love about Chef Snow, man. He's actually, okay, so for all those people pulling those late melons out, man, right now is a good time to really put some of that stuff to use. Man, I never thought about that. It sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
freshly squeezed lime juice.
Yeah.
Huh. I have to eat that watermelon in private, man. I ain't about to film it.
You don't want to do a video, Dad?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and fill all the... Son, whatever happened to the one where Chef Snow's telling this guy about his chicken?
Yeah, Dad, I need some context. I don't understand what's going on with that. We're going to have to sit down and talk about
that. Okay. So we'll cover that later, y'all. Yeah, a little disjointed right now.
I wish y'all could see my end of things so you could understand the confusion.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in the middle of a conversation and I didn't see the beginning.
Well, all right, y'all. So we'll get on to Harvest, right? That's our latest sponsor. And if you need one, we got a link for it down below. Remember, you can buy the freeze-dried stuff or you can make your own meals, which I think is always the best way to go about it. So we got a link for that down below. All right, but that said, we're going to get into the Q&A. We got Daryl over here. He says, your pimpness, I said it before and I'll say it again, with great power comes great responsibility. You and your family's superpower is understanding. Here's my point. Permaculture 3 core values and 12 permaculture design principles are perfect. Basically, what he's saying here in a nutshell is that we ought to be teaching that stuff on here, and we'll try to find a way to graft that in.
Yeah.
We'll definitely try to find a way.
I think people like
that
type of information and stuff. But that, yeah, that type of content just takes us, you know, a minute to sit down and plan and kind of almost script, because there is a lot of information to pack in.
Yeah, that is a whole lot of stuff to get in there.
Yeah. Got one from the Fountain app. Got one from TD, the Texas Boys. Regarding reprogramming your response, I think it was something Jim Rohn said, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. One sets the temperature. The other one tells the temperature. This is the difference between responding instead of reacting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good way, man. Jim Rohn, really got to go back and check out some of his stuff again, because really there's a whole lot of awesome overlap over there, and it's those self-help things out there, folks. Really ought to take a look at it. Thanks, TD. I mean, that's some really good advice. I mean, that's really what we ought to try to be a little more of. All right. So Matthew says, just ordered your book. I can't wait to read it. Thanks for all you do and the information you share and the ones who inspire me in permaculture. I work on a permaculture farm that teaches and practices rotational grazing, and I'm planning on getting my PDC next summer. I'm hoping to someday teach some basic introductory classes once I get my PDC under my belt. You know what? Hey, Matthew, I think that's a great idea. But also, you're doing the right thing where you're putting your hands on it at first. There's been this phenomenon where a lot of people will go through, get the PDC, and then go out teaching immediately, trying to tell farmers that have been in this space forever and a day that everything they're doing is wrong.
Right.
Joel Salatin has been highly critical of the people that have done that. So you're doing the right thing. Get some experience under your belt. And then when you go out there and you start teaching this stuff, man, you'll be knocking it out of the park. Thank you for checking out the book. And anybody else that wants to go check it out at the website.
Got one from XX Django on the Fountain app. Great podcast again. If you could just turn up the volume, that'd be awesome. I work landscaping and have a hard time listening. Thanks for everything. I can try. I don't know that it can really go up much louder.
Yeah. Apparently there's a lot of tech over here that we're still, like I said, y'all, we're farmers that just happen to podcast. We're doing the best we can on some of that stuff. So,
right. And like Chef Snow segment, I have that turned up all the way. I can't make that any louder, y'all.
And then also when I'm doing interviews, some people are doing it from, you got to remember a lot of the people we're talking to don't have a professional setup or a rig. So it may not come across with the highest quality. I've run across that lately. But speaking of interviews and stuff, we're going to be spitting them out this week.
Oh, yeah.
We got probably every day this week we're going to have a pimp cast or something like it. A lot of information out there. And I'll be honest with y'all, I hate sitting on a podcast that I just did with somebody. Because I never understood this, that some people who are in this space, they'll sit on a podcast for going on several months.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's no longer relevant. By the time you get around to play it.
I think it depends on the podcast that you do. You know what I mean? Like if it has anything to do with news or current events or anything like that, waiting on it doesn't make any sense. But if you're doing something like storytelling or whatever, then
yeah, you know, that's a bit some things different. Are timeless, but when you're interviewing a person who, let's say, has a, you know, they got something that's okay, for example, you got a festival coming up. Well, you don't want to tell people the week of.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, we got to get some of this information out there. But I've never been a big fan of sitting on podcasts, and I've never been a big fan on rebroadcasting. I've never been a fan of that. So we're not going to do that.
Yeah. It's your turn.
Okay. Billy, entire family, just got finished watching your interview with Nicholas. Answered our prayers. We've been watching Permaculture Farms now for over 2 years, and on your Patreon, we have come to trust and share your man, these people are so great. You think too highly of me, though, Drew. And thank you all for the inspiration. And he says some wonderful things here in Christ, Drew. Thank you so much. Basically, his wife's going to be doing the PDC. And like I said before, it's the best money you're ever going to spend, and you're never going to find anything for anywhere near that expense.
And tell her to stick with it through the first couple chapters.
Yeah, that's where most people, for some reason, drop out before
drop
chapter
like
three.
Flies.
Yeah, they drop out, two. And you don't really, if you demonstrate, and you know what, I was always kind of critical of these people before, but I'm like, well, maybe you're just not cut out for doing this work, because you got to have that backbone to even understand what's about to unfold after that. So many people get in there, and then it's chapter three, then all of a sudden people start, oh, okay, that's when it starts getting fun there. Up until then, there's going to be a lot of things that just require your attention, but you got to have it. It's part of the background.
Got one from the YouTube channel in regards to the interview with Nicholas, the permaculture design course. Amen to the structure. Really enjoyed this interview. Also been put off by the standard PDC crowd. We'll definitely look into his course. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think a lot of people that are going to listen to this, and a lot of people that I run into these festivals, they are mostly people that are highly conservative.
And just add to her comment, she says, be here now is another one of those sayings that drive her batty.
Yeah.
Be here now.
Yeah, the hipster comments and everything.
There's another one, heard. Whenever you're telling somebody something, like, and you're looking for affirmation or something like that, and they'll just say heard. That's another one of those hipster comments.
I'll tell you the thing.
Like, I know you heard me. Do you understand it?
Yeah. Well, here's one that really bothers me, man. And it's just the syntax. Well, what's your ask? And I'm like, what's my ask? You mean, what's my question? What's my request?
Yeah. What are you, a black eyed children? You can't.
Talk? Your syntax is so jacked up, dude. I'm sitting here looking. Yeah. Waiting to think you're one of them black eyed kids that come knocking on people's door at 2 a.m. No, I'm. Yeah. That's another little freaky incident, too. So don't look that up. Yeah. That's a little bit freaky out there. But No, it's these little comments or like, okay, would you like chips and guac? No, I don't eat guac. You got some guacamole?
Guac sounds like something removed at the hospital.
Yeah, it sounds like something that, yeah. Just splattered on the floor, man.
Dang,
man, clean up that guac. Get that mop, clean up that guac. Dang. Yeah, it's just the hipster things. I hate them. But honestly, within a lot of these PDCs, there's going to be people that basically they're there for the information. They legitimately are. They don't have to. They don't need the guy I worship. They don't need this right. other stuff. And they just want the facts, ma'am. And that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. So right here. Well, he says, when are you going to have more bone sauce? This one here has come from Rick. I have voles coming out everywhere like weeds. I just heard one of your vids that you said you used it on your trees planting and it keeps voles away. I'm planting the roots you sent today and I had to refrigerate them for a week or so. So I have a couple of questions. Do the voles eat the comfrey roots? No, not to my knowledge. I've never seen a vole mess with a comfrey root. Also, I heard a gardener say that they do not like western afternoon sun. I do not know about that, which sadly, that's my planting location. Do I need shade cloth or is that true? I really don't know about that. Now, as far as bone sauce keeping away the voles, well, let me back up first. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do bone sauce right now. Here's the problem. Is you can't rush it and it has to be done outside and we haven't had rain forever in a day. And I'm afraid of setting up this whole mountain on fire as dry as it's been, so I can't make any.
Oh, it'll definitely catch fire. All the leaves are falling right now. Everything's changing color. Everything's... Last time there was any kind of rain, you guys were in Canada.
Yeah, it's
and been... that wasn't like a hard rain.
Yeah, but you can also see everything out here is still green in our pastures.
Yep.
So everything, even though it's been a while since we had rain, everything's still good. But back to your point, all I have regarding that is really anecdotal. All the nitrogen fixers, I'd never even thought about putting bone sauce on them because I don't care if the deer fool with them anyway. Because honestly, they're only going to do it a couple of times with a black locust before they say, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But what we found out is that the bulls got a hold of them. Well, what I did notice is that every tree we put bone sauce on the voles didn't fool around with.
Right.
So.
But they did with the nitrogen fixtures that we didn't put bone
right.
sauce on.
So I don't have definite proof that that's exactly what's going on. I just know that all the things that we put bone sauce on didn't have any vole damage. So is that science? I don't know. I want to be real careful about that because there's things that I've said regarding bone sauce and some people have put words in my mouth. About what, look, I'm not saying it's a panacea. It ain't going to solve all your problems, but it is the best deer repellent you can buy. There ain't even a close second.
Yep.
So, and if there is, I don't know about it. And they definitely don't sell it because I've tried everything they had there. So, yeah, as far as the bulls go, I'm going to tell you another surefire way of doing that. You need to get yourself a couple of good barn cats and don't Man. Overfeed them.
Yeah. That little crazy menace mom has, Ginger.
Man, that little sucker.
That little, we should have named her Calamity Jane or Thugnificent. One of the two, because she's out there just straight murdering an
yeah,
ecosystem.
Every single night. Yeah, every night your mom's always trying to find, oh, let her stay in. No, she ain't staying in this house. She's going out there. She's going to work.
Got one from IA Virtual on the YouTube channel. I love y'all so much. You're the only people that put together my faith, my love for weird and esoteric history when looked at from a biblical worldview. While also looking at God's creation at a microbiology level and how everything works together, while also actually walking the walk and talking about it. Y'all are the next level in my opinion, and I appreciate you more than you know. I hope we're neighbors in heaven. Oh, and yes, please try to interview Nathan Reynolds. His knowledge and testimony is
already
awesome.
Did it. Already reached out to him. I mean, the second, first of all, thank you so much for the kind words.
Yeah.
It really means the world to me to hear that kind of thing because there's so many of us in this faith that don't want to hear a lot of this esoteric stuff, but it's as real as this camera or the microphone right in front of me right now. It's all very real to me. This is not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We got this invisible realm out there that exists. And there's a lot of other things out there that exist, but Nathan Reynolds. So I reached out to this guy. He was on, apparently he's into permaculture as well.
Oh, wow.
And he was from one of these bloodline families. And I've been going through his book.
Yeah.
His audiobook, it's actually for free at his website. I'm going to actually buy it. I was in a rush to hurry up and figure out what this guy's talking about. Now, I'm hearing what he's saying. I am a little suspicious when I hear stories like this. So you got to examine it. But I would like to talk to the guy. There's a couple of things that give me pause that I'm thinking might be red flags regarding some of the information there. Because I am so studied in a lot of this stuff, I'm hearing, you know, I don't want to poo-poo any of his information until I examine it all, but there are a couple of things that are giving me pause about this guy. But he is an extraordinary communicator, and I would like to examine his information a tad bit further because there's a couple of things that are, I'm not saying the guy's lying, I'm just saying there's a couple of things that are red flags. So, yeah. And what I mean by that, when I say red flag, I'm saying on my end, that just means I need to examine it more.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you privately off the air.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, that's somebody I want to try to get on here. I reached out to him, haven't heard anything yet, so we'll keep trying.
Got one from Skylar Tabbert. Does it help the channel more if I watch on YouTube rather than Spotify? Take your pick, whichever one you want to do. Spotify helps the podcast algorithm more, whereas the YouTube, I would say Spotify probably, but whatever is most convenient for you. That's why we're on both platforms.
And it's going to be helpful if you can go ahead and if you haven't left reviews out there, y'all, please do. Please put in your 5-star reviews. And we love all these wonderful comments. If you would also put them in the form of a review, because ever since we talked about Operation... which one was that?
USS Liberty.
USS Liberty, yeah. Ever since we talked about that, yeah, everything kind of came to a halt. So the only way to get this freight train moving again is going to be your help. And at the end of the day, if we don't get another subscriber or anybody else, I really don't care. I mean, I'm pretty doggone happy with the audience we have now.
Yeah, yeah. Got the last one from Old McDonald Homestead. Hey guys, I've been catching up on a few of your older pimp casts and listened to an episode where you guys didn't seem to think gummy berries are nitrogen fixers. I'm curious what source led you to believe they aren't nitrogen fixers, and if maybe you could expand a little yourselves on why you think they aren't. If they truly aren't nitrogen fixers, I would love to get the truth on this because it'll make a huge difference as to where I plant my gummy berries and autumn olives. Also, would you mind giving a quick list of your favorite nitrogen fixers? Thanks for your help. God bless.
Well, autumn olive for sure is a nitrogen fixer. Right. Now, that thing with the gomi, man, I swear I wish I had a better answer for you because honestly, as many sources that tell you it is a nitrogen fixer, well, you'll find equally as many telling you it isn't.
Right.
So I don't have a good answer on that.
When there's a ton of question like that on a plant as to whether or not it is or isn't a nitrogen fixer, I just err on the side that it isn't and replace it with something that for sure is. Now, if you still want gummy berries, then I would just place it put it in a place where you're not reliant upon that nitrogen.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that. But also, man, the gomis, I know they're a superfood. But, man, I am not a big fan of the flavor.
Really?
I ain't ever had one. I don't know what to make of the flavor.
I like them when they're like, I like them when they're dried. And you can eat like a handful of them like raisins.
Yeah, even then, I'm not a big fan, fresh or dried. I don't know. It's just not one of my favorites. But honestly, it does have its place. Just like the autumn olive. He's asking about our favorite nitrogen fixtures. And I'm going to say the response that most people don't want to hear, it all depends.
Well, what you just got a box of them in today. What'd you get today?
Yes. Yeah, so I was in a bind and, okay, I'll give you a prime example, which one I really love. I love false indigo, and it all depends on how it's being used. I love false indigo for two reasons. In my orchards or food forest, it's one of those things that I can put in the hole with the tree. I can literally put it in the same hole as my productive tree. I can also use it as a spacer in between. It can take a whole lot of abuse, but unlike some of the other black locusts that we put in line out there, I can't chop and drop a black locust in the food forest.
Right. Well, you can, it just ain't going to break down as quickly.
It's going to take forever and a day to break that down. Unless it's green. I have found out that if you can get it while it's green, then it will break down. But once it turns woody, Hold on to your hat. It's going to be there a long, long, long time.
And don't drop it anywhere you have to kneel down.
Yes, yes. And I paid the piper on that, too.
So have I. And yeah. So is mom. Mom was not happy with you that one time.
Yeah, man. You're going to take a beating on that thing. And good luck trying to get it back up after you put it down, because now everything's grown into it. But as far as my favorite, now, just keep in mind, it all depends. You know, there's nitrogen fixing overstory, nitrogen fixing understory, nitrogen fixing shrubs, yeah, nitrogen fixing ground cover. We use all those, and it really all depends. But I think if maybe you're asking in terms of trees, at least in this part, man, I really love using Redbud because they're pretty.
Yeah.
And I got this new false indigo. I can't remember the name, but it's got a bluish hue to it. So it's just to add a little bit more color where I'm getting the nitrogen out there. That's a cool thing you can do with the nitrogen fixers too, is add things in there that are going to be, whether it's in the fall or whether it's in bloom, something that's going to add some more color out there.
Right. Yeah.
That's another little trick you get from Jeff Lawton too, where you can almost confuse the bugs and it favors your pollinators.
Yeah.
So your harmful bugs, it kind of confuses them, but your pollinators say, oh, okay, yeah, that's someplace I can hang out. You got a favorite son?
I think it depends on where you live. I mean, like Stefan Sokowiak, his favorite is clearly honey locust. For a long time, our favorite here at the farm, favorite to use, was black locust. It was the most readily available. You could also do mimosa, though, because those grow quickly, and you can chop them back every single year. And you can plant it in the same hole, like you said, with the false indigo. But the mimosa, I think, is edible to your ruminants.
Right, stuff. But people are going to trip because, oh, mimosa is going to get out of control. It's going to be this. It's going to be good. That. Well, if it's already there, you're like Greg Judy taught one time. I remember an article he wrote in Stockman Grass Farmer where he's like, look, okay, call it invasive all you want, but you got animals that'll eat it.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you don't have a problem with autumn olive. You got a problem with lack of sheep. So It's all a matter of how you frame it. All right, y'all. So frame, especially considering the main topic today, on the ways you need to stay alert.
Stay alive.
They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the nexus. Me.